Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. Today we're reading 2 Nephi chapter 15, which is right in the thick of this really long Isaiah quotation. The last chapter ended with promises that Zion was going to be blessed and that God would be there defending them. Let's pick up in chapter 15, verse 1. "And then will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and I will break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, and behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry." So, pretty quick transition here from the last chapter talking about how Zion was going to be blessed to here talking about how God has done everything he can think of for the house of Israel, and they have, you know, still gone astray and brought forth wild fruit. Bad fruit, I guess. Verse 8. "Woe unto them that join house to house till there can be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, and great and fair cities without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield an ephah." These old-time measurements don't mean a whole lot to me, but I'm guessing that's not good. "Woe unto them that rise early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and continue until night, and wine inflame them. And the harp, and the viol, the tabret, and pipe, and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. And the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness." It's interesting, a few chapters ago in chapter 12, verse 9, Isaiah says that the mean man isn't bowing himself down, and the great man is not humbled. And here he is saying the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled. So all these people who are prideful and are ignoring God and his teachings are going to be brought low. That's bad news for them. Verse 17, "Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed, hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto the wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto the mighty to drink wine and the men of strength to mingle strong drink, who justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." So woe unto a lot of people here, sounds like, but basically anyone who sins, anyone who has enjoyment in sinning, anyone who thinks righteousness is bad or passé, they're all in trouble. Verse 24, "Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, their root shall be rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them. And the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep, neither shall the girdle of their loins be loose, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken, whose arrows shall be sharp, and all their bows bent, and their horses' hooves shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind, their roaring like a lion. They shall roar like young lions, yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey, and shall carry away safe, and none shall deliver. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if they look unto the land, behold, darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. So there's a gathering of some kind. People are coming swiftly to this ensign. I think often we Latter-day Saints, we believers in the Book of Mormon, take this to mean the modern gathering that we're seeing among our own people and throughout the world as the restored gospel of Jesus Christ goes out and people learn about it and gather together. So that's the end of chapter 15. In chapter 16, Isaiah keeps on a-talkin'.